Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Tom Moran here from Tom's Big Spiders. Man, I got a spider situation around my computer desk. I've spoken a couple times about that little spider that's around here. Well, she keeps moving around. She was in the pothos for a bit. She did actually settle down there. I think I must have, she's still in the pothos, but there's one on the arm of my microphone. And then I have two speakers on my computer desk for obviously playing music and such. And there's one of them that's set up bass under there. So, woo, we're definitely earning the name Tom's Big Spiders here. It's just kind of funny because I'm looking around like, man, they're everywhere now. I do have a lot of house spiders around the room. They help keep the pests down every once in a while. The roach bin or something, I won't catch a roach that dropped dead. I'll get some of the flies and they tend to eat them. So I'm okay with them. But they're starting to encroach upon my space a bit. So we'll have to keep an eye on that. Anyway, this episode obviously is Burn It With Fire. And I'm sure you guys know what this one's going to be about. I've kind of covered this before to some extent, just in different podcast. It was kind of a side note, but I figured this would be a fun one to kind of approach because I've thought about this before and I've had this discussion with folks before. But anyway, Burn It With Fire, it finally happened. I've enjoyed a very long run with my YouTube channel with not having people come on to any of my videos and comment about wanting to kill my spiders. I've had an excellent run. And back when I first started YouTube, I would follow other YouTube channels or kind of watch some of the stuff that was out there. And I noticed a lot of these folks would get those comments. And it always bothered me. And it always irritated me that folks that felt the need to take the time to leave a comment like that on somebody's video who obviously cares about these animals. So basically what happened was I posted a video, it was probably a year and a half ago, the YouTube Shorts. And I've been using YouTube Shorts. I like the format. I know they're just trying to jump on the TikTok bandwagon. Same thing with Instagram. Now they're pushing everything to be shorts. And I every once in a while I'll put one up on Instagram, but I do like the YouTube version of these because it's a quick way to grab new people. I've had a lot of folks find my channel because of these shorts. And I try to do them in the Tom Moran style. I will admit that in the titles, I'm a little less, we'll say, professional. Usually when I do a husbandry video, I put the species name first, the scientific name, and then the common name, because I've always done that because I want to focus on the fact that I'm not here to entertain or to bring in new people. Here's the species, here's a common name, let's get to business. This is going to be about taking care of them. And with the YouTube Shorts, I put things in there like giant purple spider. Like, I normally don't do that. It's not clickbait, because if they click on it, they're going to see an absolutely gorgeous 8.5 inch Formictopus Dominican purple. So it's not like it's clickbaity, but I do put titles on there that will entice folks that maybe aren't into tarantulas. I'm like, oh, wait a minute, there's a big giant purple spider. So I've been using those for a little while now, and it's been working great. We get some new people like, hey, I am interested in spiders. This is really cool. I didn't even know stuff like this existed, which is perfect. But unfortunately, when you put something like that out there and it goes into the feed, you never know. Sometimes, basically, I'll put a video, one of those shorts out, and it's mostly just folks who subscribe to me that are responding. But every once in a while, one of those videos kind of takes off a little bit, and that's when it gets exposed to people who maybe aren't looking for tarantulas in their feed. And I get that. I really do. But even with that, I've been using them for probably about a year and a half now, maybe a year. I'll have to double check. And no bad response. Again, I've kind of kept that streak alive where I haven't had anybody come on and say, kill these animals. I don't know how you do this. I do get a lot of, oh my God, which I love these. Oh my gosh, I'm so terrified of these, but this is interesting. I love those kind of comments. Or I don't even like spiders. They freak me out, but that is really neat. Those are the ones that I live for because that's somebody that we might have just enkindled a little interest in the hobby with, to keeping arachnids and spiders. So those are my favorites. Obviously, get the folks that love them right off the bat, and I like those too, but those are the ones where I feel like I might have hooked somebody. They might watch this video and come back, and I did have somebody recently that said, hey, you know what? I saw one of your shorts. I never had any interest in spiders, and then I went over to your channel, and I watched some of your videos, and I watched some of the other tarantula videos out there, and now I want to get in the hobby. That's amazing. But I've never had somebody come on with the old Burn It With Fire. Well, unfortunately, that just changed. I was checking my comments yesterday, and I received a comment on a Linotheli phallax curtain web spider feeding short that I put up a while back that I'll talk about in a minute. It kind of took off, which was great. Got a lot of folks interested in spiders, I think, from it. And the comment was, nope, 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 and then in all caps, Burn It With Fire. So I respond to everything. And sometimes I will type things out that I would like to say, and they're usually rather mean and nasty and biting. And then I'm like, that's not what I'm about. Every once in a while, you can engage somebody in a comment. Maybe you can change somebody's thought process on this. And I started to type one out, and then that would kind of be more of a, hey, why would you say this? And I'm like, you know what? Forget it. And I just put, there's always one, meaning there's always some person out there that's immature enough to go on and put the old burn it with fire thing, even though I'm lucky I haven't had it in a while. And the guy responded, yep, this is straight up nightmare fuel for me. You enjoy them to your heart's content. I'll stick to mammals and fish. So that one kind of got me a bit, because it's like, all right, obviously you're into fish. Obviously you like your mammal pets. That's fine. Why do you feel like you need to come on and trash what I'm doing? What made you sit there and think, all right, this will be a good idea? So I responded. I was once arachnophobic and got my first spiders partially to get over it, although I definitely appreciate this spider could be absolutely horrifying to someone who has a fear of them. It's the burn it with fire part that always gets me. It would be like somebody looking at your fish and yelling, fry them up, or seeing your dog and cat and responding, shoot it. I'll never understand why people feel the need to kill things that they don't appreciate or that they fear. It's sad. So I kind of engaged here because I kind of wanted to hear, what is your thought process on this? Why do you think that's okay? And I have to admit, I understand his point of view. We'll get into that in just a moment, that especially for somebody who's arachnophobic, and I've even mentioned this before when we're talking about curtain web spiders, these are the things of nightmares. I get it. They are the ultimate big, sharp, we always use the term, those of us who are scared of spiders, sharp spiders, the ones with the sharp legs. Tarantulas have nice little rounded footsies that we can look at and go, oh, it's kind of cute. Spiders tend to have, they look sharp, they're fast, they skitter around. I do get it. What I take umbrage to is the fact that you feel the need to come on and not just go, this scares the heck out of me. A lot of people do this. A lot of the comments, if anybody sees the comments for these, they'll say, oh my gosh, this is scary. And I'll respond, I get it. I was an arachnophobe before. I totally understand. And we have a nice conversation. It's the kill it part that kills me. So then the person responds, Tom, I recognize your passion for them, but after spending extended time in areas with scorpions, fire ants, and killer bees, granted no spiders there, buddy, I've had my fill of a lifetime of insects. So I always have to remember, and this happened when I did a video on, what was it, the Black Widows I put up. I had some folks come on and go, you know, I appreciate that you keep these, but where I live, I'm on a farm and they're in the barn and I've been bitten by them before. I know one woman said I had to have an exterminator come in because we had a bunch of them around the house and my daughter got bit and got very, very ill. I understand that as a parent and as a rational human being, I can love animals all I want. If they become a danger to me and my family, something has to be done about it. So I responded again, I don't object to folks who live in areas where these animals are pests to feel the need to exterminate them. My issue is with someone taking the time to comment on a video posted by someone who obviously appreciates them and who is keeping them as pets to say that they should be killed. It will never make sense to me. That said, thanks for engaging me on this one. Best of luck with your fish that I want to fry up and eat. No, I'm just kidding. I don't. I actually love all animals. But you always want to throw that one out there. That's our biggest, you know, I think for most of us to get these kind of comments, that's always our go-to. Well, what if I said I'm going to do this to your dog? And that one always kills me. I've used it. Anybody that knows me knows I absolutely love dogs. My favorite animal by far. I know folk tarantula people out there can be like, no. I love dogs. Always have, always will. We have four of them. We have four of them at any given time. I love spiders as well. They're my favorite exotic pet, but there's just something about dogs. So I hate saying anything that would indicate I would commit some type of cruel act against a pet, but it's trying to put them in that mindset that, hey, be a little more sensitive. Sure, that thing scares me, totally okay. Why do we always got to jump to killing it? And then somebody else, Tom Shagger 999 or Top Shagger 999 responded, yeah, he's joking, but not in the greatest way. I know it's a joke. It's a lame joke. It's a dumb joke. And it's kind of a cruel joke. So I responded, hey, Top Shagger, I get that's the probably intended as a joke, but folks who keep arachnids hear this one all the time and it gets pretty old. And so that's how it ended off. And obviously just very, I'm sure many of you have had this conversation a million times, but it just kind of got me thinking about the topic and the fact that why does this happen to us? Why does everybody think it's okay to come on and say that our pets should be killed? And it's funny because nobody would find it funny if somebody posted a parakeet and somebody's like, I'd like to break its neck. I'd like to light it on fire. I'm going to light up your parakeet. Why is it okay to do it with spiders? So this episode, we're going to be taking a look. Obviously, it's called Light on Fire or Burn It with Fire, and we're not going to be burning anything with fire here today, but we are going to be talking about why this happens. So For starters, why do we tarantula keepers get such vitriol for keeping these creatures? It's a lot of times we are faced with very nasty, almost violent responses to our animals. And I think, for starters, and a lot of this is common sense, but I'm going to break it down away because I think we as pet keepers have to be cognizant of this. And I hope that some people that aren't into it, that we can kind of rope them in to recognize that this isn't the way to handle things. Number one, for starters, they are, I believe, the top phobia across the world. If you look up top phobia in the world, it's usually spiders or arachnids. And sadly, it's human nature to want to kill or destroy anything we fear. We see examples of it all the time. Perhaps this is some ancient instinct hardwired into our genes from the days when our little pink, fleshy, helpless prehistoric ancestors had to constantly contend with a wild, treacherous world just brimming with danger. You can just imagine we're developing tools. We've got insects that kill us. We've got arachnids that can kill us. We've got mammals that can kill us. We are just not very impressive. You look at the animal kingdom, and I love watching animal footage. We are really not, if it wasn't for our big brains, we'd be screwed. Let's call it as it is. So I'm sure this somehow comes from back in the day. You can almost see it. Grog goes out hunting. He walks through a bush. There's this eight-legged thing on him. He picks it up. It bites him. And Grog dies. And Grog's wife, I don't know, we'll call her Grogina, tells all the other cavemen, oh my God, Grog is dead. He picked up one of these eight-legged things. They're dangerous. We need to kill them all. So anytime they would wander into a cave to maybe buckle down for the night and they saw one of these things, they lit it on fire and killed her. They smashed it. They're out in the woods. Anytime they saw them, they killed them. And that just got ingrained into us. It's almost like for many of us, and remember, this is coming from somebody who was arachnophobe. I will say it was not an arachnophobe that felt the need to kill them. That's why I don't feel like this always has to be the solution. But you can almost see how like hardwired it is in us. And I did a whole thing on arachnophobia and talk about how Hollywood kind of promotes it. And I also addressed the fact that for years we thought that it was something that was ingrained in us. Then I believe there were some studies that showed that we're not born with it, that we watch relatives, like maybe a mom or a dad. So in my case, my mom was terrified of spiders. We see their reactions and that builds the same reaction in us. So mom sees a spider, freaks out, smashes the spider, all of a sudden like, ooh, spider bad. And then it gets ingrained in us. I struggle with that one because my youngest son is a bit arachnophobic. He has never lived in a world in a house where anybody here has been scared of spiders. He's never seen that from any of us. And he was naturally like out of the womb a little. He's better now. He's not as bad, but he's one that if he sees a bug on his ceiling, he's downstairs. Hey, Dad, there's a moth on my ceiling. Yep, it's just sitting there. Hoping somebody can come get rid of it. Like, that's his approach to it. There's a little spider up in the corner of my room, and it's just sitting there watching me. Really hope somebody gets rid of it. He's been like that from day one, and he grew up. I mean, I've had spiders almost as long as he's been alive, actually longer than he's been alive. So there shouldn't be that fear there. So who knows? Whatever it is a phobia. A lot of people have it. So that right off the bat, we have to recognize that for many, our hobby is the thing of nightmares. The look on people's faces when I tell them I have 250 spiders, tarantulas, and stuff up here in one room. Some of them just lit. You can see the horror on their face, the terror, like they can't even fathom it. And again, as being arachnophobic once, I can understand that. So I think when people find out that we purposely keep an animal that many fear and even loathe, this goes beyond just I'm scared of it. It's to the point where they just want to destroy it. They find it so visually offensive. The majority of the folks out there, it just doesn't compute. They don't get it. And then they find out that we don't just keep one. We don't have one pet spider. That's weird enough. Back when I had one tarantula, that made me weird enough. When I had 15, yeah, you're weird. When we had many tarantulas, that made us super weird. So I get that. And then they find out that we have dozens, maybe hundreds. That makes us super weird. Like, I'm sorry. And I can see that. And before, it's every time I do one of these, somebody comes on and goes, I don't care. I don't care either, honestly. I don't. Part of me is like, I just recognize how the world works. And I recognize that if I don't want to field all the questions about how does your wife live with you? How do you sleep with all those things in the house? I just don't mention it. It depends on what kind of mood I'm in. So I'm not saying we're bad. I'm just saying that it's a fact. The majority of folks out there would find people like us who choose to keep all these animals weird. Not a bad thing, just weird. And I think one of the things that has made this even more of an issue lately, or maybe not an issue, but has just kind of fed into it, is the fact that social media is a huge part of this issue, of this negativity that we get. Back when I got my first tarantula, we didn't have social media. I was back from this time period called the 90s, where I remember a friend had a computer. We didn't have a computer until I was 28. Billy had one growing up. We didn't have one. We didn't have a lot of money. Didn't have a computer. I had a word processor, a Brother word processor. Until that point, I hand wrote all my papers and everything from school. I would go over to a friend of mine's house. They had some money. They had like the computer. And I remember downloading stuff. It was back in the day where it would make those weird noises when it was using your phone line. You'd try to pull up a picture and you hit the button to download the picture. And then you'd go grab a Coke. You'd go downstairs, watch a TV show, come back up. And maybe you had an inch of a 12-inch picture up. The good old days, folks. If you're younger out there, trust me, you have it good now because you click it and the picture comes right up. But anyway, there wasn't a lot out there. There were like message groups, I think they were called, or something you get online. But there wasn't really a lot of that. Our exposure to people that appreciated the hobby came from when we went to shows and that we were surrounded by like-minded people. So we didn't get a lot of resistance. Sure, you obviously had your family members, but your family members weren't seeing what you were doing online like nowadays or on your phone or on your Facebook page or on Instagram. They would have to come to your house to see them. So a different ballgame. But now with social media out there, many of us, you know, with normal social media, you're on Facebook, say, and I know that one's kind of an old one. Instagram seems to be a bigger one. You're posting things about your day. People are posting, you know, what they ate, the pictures of their kid's first day of school, a video of something funny they saw, whatever it may be. And that's the normal thing to do. There's pictures of dogs. There's pictures of cats. Well, unfortunately, the spider people, we want to post pictures of the animals we love. And it's kind of unfair. It seems unfair sometimes because we're not going to get the same love that our buddy John got when he just posted up his new, I don't know, golden retriever puppy. You know, he throws the pictures up. There's all these people with the hearts and the love and the, oh my God, it's so cute. And I had one and oh, I just want to hug it. I want to eat its face. So then we look at it and go, oh, I just got a new pet. I got a piece of Lotharia regalis. Look at it. It's black and white and gray. It's beautiful. And instead we get, oh my God, I'm not following you anymore. Please don't post spider pics anymore. Kill it, burn it, squish it. My God, I'm going to have nightmares. It's just not the same. And the truth is, people don't fear dogs, cats, ferrets, fish the way they do spiders. So is it fair? And I always try to look at things like the way it should be, but the way it actually is. Is it fair that we can't throw up pictures on social media and have to receive these types of malicious comments? No, it's not fair. But if you look at it, the truth of the matter, it makes sense. Most people are scared of spiders and they don't particularly care for opening up their social media to see what, I don't know, their friend Janice had for lunch and seeing a big spider in there. And for folks that weren't ever arachnophobic, let me explain what it's like when you're severely arachnophobic. I don't talk about this all that much, but I can think back to when I was desperately afraid of spiders. Like, it was a bad thing. And just to share a little story, I think I might have shared this one before. I was arachnophobic from as far as I could remember. And when I was really young, we lived in a raised ranch, and there was stairs that went down to the bottom part of the raised ranch. Half of it was finished, half of it was the garage. And for a while, the room that was off, essentially became my parents' bedroom, but for a while, it was not used. The room wasn't used until we had my sister. She got her own room. My parents moved downstairs. And my parents had let this staircase become infested with daddy long legs and spiders. The whole staircase, you'd walk down the staircase, and all it was webs and spiders. We were a little trashy. Luckily, my mom doesn't listen to my podcast, but it's the truth. I mean, we had the garage always had animals in it. We had like a hobby farm, and we'd always have like in the wintertime baby goats and stuff, little chickens with the heat lamps on and everything. And obviously, that would attract bugs and vermin, and they would try to get into the house, and we had all the spiders down the staircase. Well, my dad would constantly, when we'd go down, we called it do the work. It was time to do the work because I had chores in the morning, chores after school. I would have to go down that staircase because all the feed was kept in the side of the garage. And It was the thing of nightmares. I remember walking down that staircase as fast as I could. I've slipped a couple times and fell all the way down because it was like walking through a tunnel of your worst nightmare. And it was just Daddy Long Legs, which consequently would be the first kind of arachnid that I was able to get over my fear of. But at that time, it was horrific. I was so scared. And I think it made my arachnophobia worse. And my dad would just be like, don't be a baby, come down here. And I remember I'd walk down and I would feel that they were on me. It was awful. At that point, if I saw spiders on TV, if it was a TV show or we're watching a horror movie and a tarantula's crawling over somebody, I'd have to look out of like the corner of my eye, and sometimes it would be too much. We obviously spent a lot of time outside. We had barns. Guess what barns attract? Lots of spiders. It was all, you'd go in the barn, you'd put your hand down, a spider would go, like I'd almost pass out. It was bad. It was really, really bad. And I've told folks, it was even after I started getting heavy into the hobby and was picking up a lot of species, Piezolitheria. I adore Piezolitheria. There were points where I would pull up photos of pokies online and they would blow up on my computer, and my first reaction was to like recoil, like, whoa, and kind of look at it in the corner of my eye. I'd have to minimize the photo so that it wasn't so big. Just a photo of a Piezolitheria species would trigger my fear of spiders. That's how bad it is. So I get why people, I have never been of the mind, kill it. Never with anything. I grew up watching, I think I've mentioned before, the movie Jaws had a profound impact on me because I saw that as a kid. And to date, if I'm in water that's in a lake or in the ocean, I just assume there are sharks swimming around me. But I never want to kill them. I just recognize I'm in their territory. I need to be careful, whatever it may be. But when I was an arachnophobe, I can't imagine what it would have been like to be perusing my Instagram feed and all of a sudden seeing a picture of a large spider. It would have freaked me out. And I probably would have been, dude, what the heck? Stop posting this stuff. I get that. I know a lot of us get angry at it, but I do see the other side of it. So you picture, I don't know, your Aunt Sophie is on her lunch break and she decides she's going to post some photos of the amazing lunch she just got from the vegan place down the street. And she opens her feed to post, and there's this big photo that you just posted of a giant spider. Now, Aunt Sophie is arachnophobic. So the picture scares the heck out of her. And in a way, it's almost like you ever, and this happens to some of us even now that aren't scared of spiders. You're in the shower, you reach for your washcloth, and all of a sudden you see a spider skitter away. It startles you. And when you're arachnophobic, it startles you to the point where you jump out of the shower and call somebody to get the spider out. So it's almost that level of triggering that adrenaline, triggering that response that makes you want to, you know, yuck, burn it, kill it. So what does she do? She's a little upset. She didn't want to see that. You just ruined it. She doesn't even want to post her picture of her lunch anymore. She doesn't want to eat her lunch anymore because she's so freaked out. So she fires off kind of the aggressive, squish it, burn it. If I was in your house, I would kill it. Does it make sense to me? Is it mean? Yes. Do I see where it comes from? I do. And in the case of my aforementioned story about the comment that I received on my video, I should mention that once again, it was a YouTube short, but it was one that actually picked up quite a lot of steam in the past month. I looked down, all of a sudden it had 100,000 views. I mean, I think when I originally put it out, it had like 7,000-8,000. Somehow it got picked up somewhere, went not viral, but it definitely picked up some steam. And that means that that video has, as a result, has probably showed up in the feeds of a lot of folks who are not on there to see videos of giant fast-moving, spindly spiders hunting. I'm sure a lot of folks opened up their feeds and like, what is this? What am I looking at here? Some webbing? What is he talking about? And then the spider bursts out. It is the thing of nightmares. I will say flat out, had I seen that 20 years ago, I would have probably thrown my phone across the room. I wouldn't have had a phone. Say I was on a computer, I would have thrown it across the room. I would have backed away, went, nope. Wouldn't have said burn it, but nope. So I do get that it's difficult for folks who have a fear of spiders to see these things pop up. It does trigger that like fight or flight in a lot of people, and therefore we get these nasty responses. Now, should we be able to post pictures and videos of our animals without fear of these types of comments? Sure. In a perfect world, folks would just say something nice like they do to someone else's posts about their cat or their ugly baby that everybody wants to hear so pretty. Oh, isn't it cute? Oh, it's so beautiful. But it's not a perfect world. There's a lot of folks who are being exposed to this that don't want to be exposed to this. I'm sure we all have things out there that we don't like to see pop up on their feeds. For example, and this is nothing against people that hunt. I want to make that very, very clear. I do not like watching hunting videos. I have nothing. I don't even like watching videos anymore. It's gotten to the point where it's like the National Geographic stuff where it's like an animal getting taken down and killed. I don't need to see it. I was a very sensitive kid who absolutely adored animals. I grew up on a farm where a lot of, if you grow up with that farm mentality, you're butchering animals, you're killing animals right and left, and it always ate me up inside. I don't want to see an animal suffering, getting shot, getting killed, any of that stuff. So I understand there are people out there that hunt and this is their cup of tea, and more power to you. I'm not criticizing that a bit. It's not for me. So I do understand if I'm watching a video on YouTube and then all of a sudden something comes up and it's, you know, somebody shooting a coyote in a trap or something, like, I don't want to see it. I have nothing to do with that. Or if it's someone just deer hunting, again, I have a lot of buddies that hunt. We talk about their hunt. I listen to their stories or whatever. It's just not my cup of tea. It's not something that I enjoy doing or seeing. And again, not a knock on it because I don't want people coming at me with this. My whole family hunted. I get it. It's just, unfortunately, with my upbringing, the way I was brought up, I just can't deal with any animal death whatsoever. It's just not my thing. So I get it, what it's like to open something up and see one of those. I had a buddy of mine that would do hunting, and I would open up my feed, and there's him with this beautiful buck he caught that he's super proud of, and apparently should be super proud of. It was probably a good hunt. He used the meat perfectly, which is exactly what you should do. I have nothing against it. I just don't want to see it. So I think it falls in line with that, where unfortunately with social media being the way it is, you are going to be exposed to things you don't want to see. And we are in a hobby where people are afraid of the animals that we keep. They don't want to see them. And for somebody that is, you know, triggered, I hate to use that word, but triggered by that type of content, seeing a big spider all of a sudden on their phone. I've seen my mother can't even look at this stuff. She is so arachnophobic that even a quick look at a picture of this, she freaks the heck out. I get it. I really do. It's a fact. I mean, it can't be argued. It's a fact that many of the folks, and in some instances, most of the folks that we interact with on social media, if we're not doing it on a tarantula Facebook group, or if we're not doing a page devoted to just like my Instagram, there's nothing personal about me. My Facebook, I haven't posted anything personal about me. I'm not even on Facebook anymore, but I hadn't posted anything personal about me in over a decade at least. A lot of folks that are on our pages with us are not into spiders and do not want to be surprised by photos of them. We have to understand that although it is our right to be able to post this stuff, as for many of us, our tarantula keeping is a big part of our lives. Believe me, I understand that more than anybody. It's a huge part of my life and has been for over a decade. We also have to respect that some folks are going to have a negative reaction to tarantula pics popping up in their feed. So I know there are going to be folks out there that are going to be thinking, well, it's my passion and I honestly don't care what people think. If they don't like the occasional spider pic, don't follow me. And that's fine. I get it. I understand. However, we have to expect that we're going to receive comments such as the ridiculous burn it, smash it, kill it, whatever, however juvenile and pathetic it is to us. That's going to be that knee-jerk reaction because they're unfortunately disgust is a word that is often used by folks who are afraid of spiders. I had folks tell me they are absolutely disgusting. And for me, even when I didn't, I think I come at this, I know I talked about being arachnophobic, I was never in the kill it camp. My dad actually really kind of instilled a respect for them with me. When I was little, I smashed one in the barn, this is a long time ago, probably 7-8 years old. I freaked out, smashed it, and my dad was all over me, which is amazing because my dad was, the guy that was butchering all the animals, really didn't strike me as somebody that respected and loved animals the way I did. But for some reason, he had an affinity for spiders, said, you never kill spiders. They're good. They do nothing but good. They're getting rid of the creatures that we don't want in the barn. And from that point on, I saw them in a totally different light. And that stuck with me. That's always stuck with me. So even as I grew up and was forced to, I worked on in a marina for years. We had these giant orb weaver spiders on there. The guys at the dock used to call them chowder spiders. It was this old guy in the dock. He's like, oh, they're chowder spiders. They're big enough to throw in a chowder. They were big. And we'd have to contend with those. You go on the dock in a cool, dewy morning, and they had their webs everywhere. And even then, I would cup them and get them out of the way. They freaked me out, but I would never kill them. But I understand a lot of people don't have that outlook. It scares me. It freaks me out. I want it away from me. If it's near me, I want it dead. Pathetic to us, but it's a reality. It's funny because I had a conversation with a keeper, I think it was over email recently, where he was upset at the fact that he was sending pictures of his spiders to people. And one of his friends is like, dude, I would smash that. I would kill it. And he was all mad and upset about it. And I said, well, did he ask for pictures of the spider? And he said, no, I just send them out to friends and stuff. I text them out. He was sending pictures through text. And I said, well, did you warn him ahead of time that one was coming? He's like, no, why would I? And that was the part that I kind of latched onto. I'm like, hey, I got to disagree with you here. When I send photos to folks, I have friends that aren't particularly scared of spiders, but they don't like opening up their phone. Oh, Tom sent me a pic. What's it going to be? And seeing a picture of a spider without a warning. So I always warn them, hey, tarantula pic incoming. And that just gives them a heads up that when you open this, don't be surprised. It's going to be a spider. And most of them respond very, very well to it. Instead of, I've had folks that back in the day, and the reason why I do this is because I would just send pictures off and they're like, dude, you got to warn me before you do that. No offense, but I wasn't expecting to see it on my phone. It really kind of freaked me out. My adrenaline's going right now. So I warn them so they know they have a choice in it. I'm going to be seeing a picture of a tarantula. And if you do that to somebody and they went, hey, I'd rather not see it, don't force the issue. Now you're becoming part of the problem. We're not trying to make people more scared of them. We're not trying to encourage or reinforce those biases and those phobias of them. Our goal is to pull people in to start going, hey, you know what? That's really interesting. That's fascinating. I don't like spiders, but that's beautiful. I've seen this at work with the people at work, and I've talked about this before. It got out the place I work at. My son went to high school there. I wasn't there as a teacher at first. And he showed a bunch of people, including teachers that I knew through other teachers, my YouTube channel. For him, it was like, I'm proud of it. Look at my dad's got a YouTube channel. And it was embarrassing because then I came to work there and people knew me from that. And so I've often gotten questions about it. And I'm the type that, and this is what I would, you know, encourage people to be aware of. You kind of have to be in the mood sometimes to talk about this stuff. Sometimes I'm not in the mood to sit there and listen to it. I wouldn't marry you if you had this. And I just kind of, I avoid the question like, yep, I got spiders and I move on. Other times when I'm in the mood, I do like to engage and I like to try to trigger that fascination in people. But it can be tough because again, in many instances, we're fighting an uphill battle. I do think that, you know, does keeping spiders make us weird? Yes, it does. To the general population, we're the weird ones. Is that a bad thing? No, I've never thought the word weird was a bad thing. I always considered myself kind of a weird little kid, a weird dude growing up. I own it. I think a lot of us own it. But I also think that sometimes we're also kind of victims of the stereotypes that surround what a tarantula keeper should be, act like, look like. And we did a whole thing on tarantula keeper stereotypes a while back. We talk about that a lot of folks picture the guy or girl with the black clothes, with the tattoos and the silver jewelry and the weird hair in a dark room, listening to death metal, handling spiders. A lot of folks picture that image. And sadly, I kind of, because of the fact I obviously have the tattoos, I obviously am into, you know, metal and such. I do kind of fill some of those stereotypes, but I'm also a teacher, which throws people off. They're like, I don't get it. You're a teacher. You're obviously an educated guy. Why would you keep these things? I think sometimes that idea is into people's heads and it throws them off when they meet us and realize we don't fit that image. And I think that's a good place to kind of go, all right, well, you're right. We don't fit that image because it's kind of a stereotype. A lot of us, we've talked about this before, are lawyers, doctors, teachers. We're in professions that you would never in a million years expect that anybody in that profession would be interested in creepy, crawly things. And I think that's a spot where as keepers, we want to always capitalize on that and show them that, all right, I understand the expectation you have, but it's wrong. It's not what the majority of people out there that keep are like. I talk to moms, dads, grandmothers. I can't tell you how many grandparents, older folks, above, okay, well, young folks in their 60s, I don't want to offend anybody, but folks have seen some life and they're just getting into the hobby and they love it. We're not all the weirdos everybody thinks that we are, but we always need to keep in the back of our mind that's how we're viewed. So we want to be careful to change expectations as we go along. Firing off pictures of spiders to everybody and going, well, F you, that's what I like. If you don't like it, kiss off. That's not the way to go about it. If we're intelligent, learned individuals, if we're normal everyday people with normal everyday jobs, we want to show folks that, hey, look it, I'm not this person you think I am. This is what I am. I'm a paraprofessional at a school. I don't know, a maintenance worker. I'm a carpenter, whatever it may be. Normal everyday jobs. I work for a living. this is just my passion. And we want to use that to kind of bring them in. Sadly, there are, I do think there are a lot of folks still out there that they pick up these animals more as a status symbol. It's more, it's less, hey, these are fascinating, I want to learn about them, and more, I want to show off how much of a masculine person or man I am, how creepy I am, how dark I am, because here's my spider, and look at, I'm holding it, and isn't it creepy? Fear me. That's like the folks that go out there and have the pit bulls that are all jacked up on steroids or something with the spiked collars, and they hold them out like, yeah, look at me, I got these dogs. And I hate that kind of stuff, because it makes the rest of us look bad. Those are, that's one of the negative stereotypes. Again, stereotypes a lot of times are born from some truth. There are folks out there, and I think people see a lot of these folks that are keeping them to show off how fringy they are, how outside, they're a kind of class. They're not with, they don't follow the rules. They're not within the norm. They're into the creepy, scary stuff. And that, sadly, from what I've experienced, doesn't represent the majority of folks I run into in the hobby. I think me, I've always had, I love animals. I love all animals. I love furry animals. I love invertebrates. I've always had a special place in my heart, though, for the creepy crawlies or the animals that are misunderstood that people hate. I just, it makes me want to learn more about them. It makes me want to keep them. And then I become fascinated and end up loving them. So for example, snakes, kept snakes for a very long time. I couldn't figure out snakes I've never had a fear of. Couldn't figure out why people hated them so much. To me, they were hugely important to our ecosystem, to keeping pests down. I never understood that. Then I got into tarantulas. Again, came in kind of with a fear of them, but was always fascinated by them. The more I learned about them, the more I was obsessed with them. It's even spreading out, so I'm kind of looking at some of the insects, not to keep them, but just reading about insects and stuff. They fascinate me. We obviously have four dogs, three of which are pit bull type dogs, American Staffordshire Terriers, American Pit Bull crosses, a combination, whatever. And we didn't pick them up and go out there and go, I need pit bulls to show what a badass I am. We went out because we do a lot. All of our dogs over the course of the last 20-something years have been rescue dogs. And what dogs are often found looking for homes? It's the pit bull type dogs. So we ended up getting them because the poor things would sit in shelters and nobody wanted them, or the wrong types of people would want them. You'd see the guys, I remember looking at one of the dogs and you get this big jacked up dude coming in like, oh, that one looks big. Like, oh, come on, buddy. So it's, for me, it's always just been that's, I like those types of animals, but I'm also cognizant of the fact that by keeping these types of animals, I'm going to get some flack. So I think the point of it is, should we have to listen to this stuff? No. Is it irritating? Yes, it is. Is it irritating when somebody looks, I hate using it. And again, I probably shouldn't have engaged. It's our favorite go-to when somebody says, burn it. What about I burn your dog? I probably shouldn't engage in that because that retort is just as trite and uninspired as the original comment, burn it. Meaning we respond to them by going, well, how about I kill your animal? It's kind of icky, but I do think it needs to be, it's important to explain that I wouldn't do this to your pet. Maybe I don't like cats. I have nothing against cats, heads up, but maybe I don't like cats. I wouldn't look at somebody's cat picture and go, man, strangle it. It's ridiculous. But unfortunately, people, as we always say, people will people. So we got to expect this stuff. And I think that our challenge is to take these opportunities and try to change people's minds a bit. Now, I failed miserably in the earlier one. I was hoping that this guy would engage me a little bit. I was hoping for it. Yeah, you're right. I see what you mean now. It's kind of messed up. I apologize. He didn't. He lived the place with bugs, so therefore he thinks it's okay to go on somebody's video that is showing off an arachnid, an harmless arachnid, and say, kill it. I can't do anything with that. But there are ways sometimes that we can use these instances to not turn it into a confrontation, but more a learning experience. That's what I effort to do. That's what I have a lot of good luck with. Like I said, I've had many comments on my videos. Man, these things really freak me out. They're really gross. And then I come back and they're like, you know what? I do see your point there, that it is pretty. Like sometimes you get the, it is a beautiful spider, despite the fact it's a spider. I like the colors. Or yeah, I do find that fascinating that you have, you know, five of the same species living together. I always thought spiders were cannibals. You have to capitalize on that stuff. So what do we do in these situations when we encounter people like this? Well, A, don't force the issue. Don't feed into it. Try, you know, I don't see a problem with calling somebody out and going, hey, it's kind of insensitive for you to say that. We love these animals. We spend a lot of time with them. We raise them from little babies to grown-ups. I explained to somebody once where I think it really helped them understand why we're so passionate about them. I was talking about my grandma stole poker bees, and they're like, well, how long does it take to grow up? I said, well, I got this thing. It was smaller than your normal house spider. It was about a third of an inch. It was a speck. And they're like, really? And they're like, how long did it take it to grow up to the size it is now? And I'm like, almost 10 years. And they just looked at me like, wow, you've spent a lot of time with this animal. You've spent a lot of time growing up. This isn't like a feed it a couple things, it's grown up. I was like, no, the tarantulas take a long time to grow. And that kind of brought them in where suddenly they realized why I was so attached to them. I didn't just pick this big spider up and have been keeping it. I grew this thing up for a baby. You want to kind of key into that. That's something that I think anybody that's grown an animal up, whether it be a ferret, a cat, a hamster, a gerbil, whatever it may be, can appreciate. We want to focus on the fact that they can be beautiful. I've always said showing one of the things that triggers interest is showing that they're not just big, brown, hairy spiders. The majority of folks out there that I've met, when you tell them you have all these tarantulas, they picture a room full of brown spiders. And there's nothing against, I have nothing against brown spiders. You guys know me. Some of my favorite species are the typical big brown spiders. But we want to show them that they're not ugly animals, that they can have beauty. Showing them pictures of the blue ones. I just posted a video, a quick feeding short on YouTube featuring my Dolichothele diamantinensis. And I purposely put it up there because it is, I have to, if I say so myself, I got some beautiful shots of it nice and close up. You can see those colors are popping. Even if you don't like spiders, you can't help but look at that spider and go, those colors are beautiful. We want to trigger that. We want to somehow, and I think all of us have had those situations where you start to rope somebody in that maybe didn't want to see the pictures at first. And then all of a sudden you're talking about, yeah, one of my spiders molded. It's a beautiful purple. Well, hey, let me take a look at it. Those are the moments we want. We want to trigger that fascination. I've spoken in this podcast and many other times about the fact that I was scared of them, but I never loathed them. I was fascinated by them. We want to kind of shine a spotlight on their more fascinating traits and behaviors. Some of the things I've had luck with, my Balfouri communal, even people that are like, oh my gosh, that should be a nightmare because there's five of them, but they're blue and they're so beautiful and I can't believe they get along. Trapdoor spiders. People love seeing that stuff with the trapdoors. It's just fascinating. Even something as mundane to us as molting, although I think a lot of us are still fascinated by molts, but we're so used to it. If you have a big collection, you have molts going on daily. I've seen people really, you talk about molts and they start paying attention. Like, wait, they what? They lose their whole skin. It looks like a spider. And then you can show them a molt and they're freaked out at first. But next thing you know, they're examining it. Can I feel how heavy it is? Those are the type of things that we want to tap into to try to, again, reduce that fear and loathing of these animals. Another thing I like to talk about is how helpful they are. We talk about the fact that you're killing spiders, and by killing spiders, like people that even just regular spiders around the house, by killing those spiders, those are the ones that are taking care of the things you don't want in your house. We talk about the venom research, how they're doing research on spider venom to treat various ailments and pain. And they're even working on right now, if I'm not mistaken, the venom of Phenutria species or the Brazilian wandering spiders, because as many folks know, one of the side effects of the venom for men is a priapism. I don't think it's going to be an issue for women, but they're studying it for hopes of finding some way to treat male impotence, which never thought I'd have that in one of my tarantula podcasts, but there's a million things going on with spiders that are fascinating about them. And if you can expose folks to some of those fascinating elements, you'll see you get a lot less of a violent response or a negative response. I've had people, I've gotten into discussions, the good discussions where you can tell people are really interested in what you're saying. And those are the ones I love because now I've kind of got them hooked. And they'll still end with, well, they still creep me out, but that's kind of cool. That's all we can ask for in some cases. But I think as hobbyists, is this something we're going to continue to be exposed to? Yes, it goes without saying. And hopefully this will give folks, you know, the next time somebody posts something and one of their friends goes, that's disgusting, kill it, we'll think back at my, you know, example of what it's like to be an arachnophobe to get a picture like that and take a deep breath and try to turn it into a discussion. It can be difficult. I mean, this guy that I went back and forth with, did it end up the way I wanted it to? No. Did the guy continue with the burn it? So, no, it sounded like it was probably somebody that was fairly intelligent that just thought it would be funny to do the old burn it comment and got called on it. But I have had other instances where people have said things not quite as negative that we've turned around and it's become a really good discussion. They're like, hey, you know what? Thanks for talking to me about this. I kind of see him in a different way now. That's what we want to do. Every one of us who keeps spiders, many people are going to immediately see us as weird. I think as folks who keep these amazing animals, part of our mission should be to A, convince folks that we're not so weird. Not saying that, again, there's always going to be people out there that look at us, even when they start getting interested, and go, all right, you're still weird for keeping that many. And I think, let's own up to it, guys. We are. We're weird. But I think as ambassadors, it's our goal to try to share some of that love with them, to try to entice them into seeing that they're not these loathsome creatures that everybody seems to think they are, to try to instill some of that awe that we feel, some of that fascination that we feel. That's all we can do. So the next time you post something up and you get one of those comments, my mission to you is to try to turn it into a dialogue. Hold back that anger, which I think is, quite frankly, well-placed anger. It irritated me to no end when I opened up my phone to check my comments, and that was the first comment I saw. An immediate, you know, you talk about fight, flight, or what is it now, freeze. I'm a fight type of person. My first reaction is to go right back at them. But like I always try to do, whenever I get an email or a comment that I find kind of irritating, take a deep breath, sometimes write out what I'd like to say, and then take a deep breath and go, how can I turn this, hopefully, into a reasonable discussion? We did have a reasonable discussion. Didn't turn out quite the way I wanted to. I don't think the guy's going to come back. I'll keep you updated if he did. But I have had other instances where it has turned out much better, and I think the person's walked away having learned something and with a bit more respect for what we do and why we love these animals. So that's my challenge to you guys. Again, somebody says something like that, don't come back to, how about I go shoot your dog? How about I do that? Like, I've seen people come back with, I'll just go shoot your dog. I'll drown your cat. I'll drown your gerbils. No, but mentioning to them, it feels the same way as somebody saying, do you keep a pet? Yes, I keep a cat. Can you imagine somebody, because there are people out there that don't like cats, saying, I'd drown your cat. That would be horrifying. That would make you upset. We get upset too. Try to explain it that way. Obviously, you're always going to have the dinguses out there that don't listen and just think it's funny to say, I don't care, I'll kill your whole collection. And just disengage. There's no point. They're morons. They probably don't have very good lives anyway. Nobody really likes them. They have no friend. No, I'm just kidding. I don't know. But there's not somebody I'm going to waste my time on. And then for those of you that do have social media pages with family and friends on them, that you don't separate the spider pics from them, be cognizant of that. You, obviously, you care about your spiders, you want to post it, but the old, if you don't like it, take off. I don't think that's the way to deal with it. I think telling people, hey, this is going to be a spider post. Heads up. If you don't want to see spiders, I understand, but these are important to me. I have some folks out there that'll be happy with it. Give them a heads up, because when you force them to do that and then take the stance, well, if you don't like it, go, that just pushes people further away. We want to pull people in. We want to share what we love about them, and that's not the way to do it. So I'll be curious to hear if I hear anything back from this. It was the other comment from the guy, not defending him, but mentioning that it was probably just a joke or done in jest, was just this morning. We'll see where it goes. I don't see it going anywhere great, but I tried. And I think that's all any of us can do. So that will do it for this one. As I mentioned earlier, my last post on YouTube, no long video. I'm probably doing, for the time being, until things calm down at school, we'll probably be doing like a longer video every other week, and then I'll try to put a short up there just so people know I'm alive and don't freak out. And then as things calm down with school, I'll be posting more and more, but it's just, I'm not going to stress over it anymore. It's been one of those deals where it's like you get up Saturday morning, like, oh, I got to make a video. And I don't ever want this to become a chore. So that's what we'll be doing for the time video. But today, if you want to see, I think, some really nice footage of a D. diamantinensis. I got some beautiful footage of my eating. It was nice and very serendipitous because I was up in the tarantula room trying to figure out what video I was going to do. I was looking at some things I needed to rehouse. I took that one out because it had just molted. It needed a big meal, dropped a roach in, and I saw it kind of come up and wait on the web, and I'm desperately trying to get my phone open before it grabs the roach. Usually, this happens all the time. I see like a situation where I could get some great video, but my phone, I have a little sliding thing that goes over the lenses, and I don't have it open or don't get the phone open and running in time, but this time I did, and I was able to get some footage of it. So feel free to check that out. You can find me on thomasbigspiders.com. You can find me on Thomas Big Spiders, the podcast. You can leave comments there. You can leave comments on Spotify. I'd love to hear, moving ahead for next week, what are some examples of, for you folks out there that have run into these comments? What do you do as far as your social media pages? Do you do anything different? Do you have a separate group on Facebook that you put people in that like to see your spider pictures? Because I've heard people can do that. On Instagram, do you have an Instagram just for, I know some people have one just for their tarantula stuff. Some people have one for their just regular, you know, conversing or seeing their friends' posts or whatever. What do you guys do? And when you hear the old burn it comment, what is your reaction? How do you respond to that? Have you had any situations where you were able to pull people over and kind of convince them that these animals do deserve more respect, that they are fascinating, that they are worth, I don't know, letting live? Let me hear about it. I would love to do a follow-up with some of the experiences you guys have had. That'll do it for this one, guys. As always, stay safe. I'm about to go walk my dogs because we're having beautiful weather. This is my time of the year now because I'm not a summertime person. I like, don't get me wrong, like the warm weather to a point, but I'm a cold weather guy. It's getting a little cooler around here. We had nice, breezy, cooler weather. I'm going to go outside and enjoy it. You all have a great weekend. We'll catch you all next time.